You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren Dominick and Chase here on this Thursday morning. Titans and Colts tonight at Nissan Stadium. Every Thursday at this time. Don't forget Silly Underdogs coming up at high noon. We bring in the GM, Floyd Reese, who can be heard starting at 2 o'clock today. It is our 2 o'clock, 2 to 6 guest that can be heard every Monday through Friday on Thursdays on the show. Paul Feinbaum at 10:15, now Floyd Reese at 11 o'clock, and we do this every Thursday. Big deal, not a big deal, just part of it. Everybody's got to play on Thursday night, but truly, how difficult is it to have that quick turnaround? I realize your opponent's got to do the same thing, but take us behind the scenes. Big deal, not a big deal.
No, it's a big deal. I mean, it's hard. Now, it's gotten to the point where we do it so often because everybody, you know, has to play that I think you're acclimating yourselves to it a little bit. But, I mean, you know, the traditional week, you go out, and, you know, on a Monday, if you're a coach, you break down the film and maybe you look at basic, you know, the offense and defense for the next opponent. Then Tuesday, you get into the workday and maybe you do first down, second and six plus, you know, whatever it may be. Then on Wednesday, you do, you know, another area, and then Thursday, you get into goal line short yardage, and then you get, well, all of that has to be condensed into 2 days. You know, you really, I mean, things are pushed way, way back. So from a coaching standpoint, of course, you're working double meetings. You're getting double the amount of information. You're trying to decide what you can feed the players and have them hopefully, you know, kind of dissolve and be able to use, and what they're just going to blow away, you know, blow off. And so it's a real structural, tense, you know, compact time. And the same thing's true for the players. You know, players have a routine where, you know, on a certain day I lift and a certain day I go to the masseuse and a certain day I, you know, go to the therapist and a certain day. Well, now all that's condensed into a couple of days.
Guys, at the end of the show yesterday, remember I was trying to think, and I haven't looked up to see if this is true or not, but I thought of his name, and it felt like this was the name I was looking for. But like I said, I don't know if this is the correct answer or not. But remember at the end of the show yesterday, the guy that, you know, went from the Titans to the Colts, and then they cut him right afterwards. And Mike Echols, I guess, Jared, said something to you in a text, Chase, and I was like, yeah, that doesn't – That may have happened, but that's not the guy I was thinking of. It, right, but Nick Harper was the guy I was thinking of yesterday. Did that happen?
Well, Nick Harper was on
Nick
the team
Harper
for a
went
while, though.
To the Titans from the Colts. He signed.
Okay, but
signed
it was, okay
the
so that was
an agent.
Off-season move.
That was an off-season yeah. free agent.
Okay,
pickup.
So it wasn't the guy that I was looking for. So tell us about that, Floyd. You know, here when you have guys switch rosters and they know a lot about a guy, how much can you really learn from them during the course of the week leading up to that game? How much of that really goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think if you bring in a guy that is really knowledgeable, let's say you brought in Logan Ryan, you know, somebody that's been there a while, that knew the coordinator, had played for the coordinator, knew the defense, knew their guy, there would be things you would pick up. And they would be able to tell you, okay, you know, against a three-receiver bunch set, they won't ever run man-for-man. Or if they do run man-for-man, they will always play it this way. You know, I think you can go through and there'll be things that will pop out and stick out that might help you. The absolute most information you would get would be on the personnel. You know, he would be able to come and he would be able to, in detail, probably tell you about the receivers you know, in detail, tell you about the tight end, tell you about the quarterback, what he likes, what he doesn't like, some things like that that might benefit you. Now, you have to be really, really careful because, you know, the guy you can bring in can be talking a lot and not telling you anything or telling you wrong information. When I was coaching special teams, it was so amazing because we would have, you know, pressure on a punt, let's say. So I'd grab the guard. I thought the pressure was over the guard, and I'd grab the guard, and I'd say, you know, what happened? Where'd your guy go? He'd say, oh, I blocked him. Stopped him at the line of scrimmage. Okay, and you go to the tackle. Where'd your guy go? Oh, I blocked him. Stopped him at the line of scrimmage. Turn the tape on the next day. They both missed their blocks. You know, but they're going to tell you what they thought they did. And I think that's the case here, too. You know, you got to be careful. They're not giving you some BS. Generally speaking, I don't think people rely on that much. You know, like I said, there is the exception. There's the exception with a really, really bright, you know, educated meaning he's been with the team for a long time, understands the system, maybe understands the coordinator. Maybe that helps.
But you don't think they've leaned on Desmond Keane a lot this week because he went up against Rivers every day in practice?
I would think now Desmond will know Rivers. You know, he'll have, but the opposite of that is true, too. And Rivers will know where King is strong and weak. And so, you know, I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, how much of that can you convey? You know, how much can King tell and help Butler? You know, really, probably not much. You know, Butler's going to be on a different guy, and King won't know a great deal about him. Maybe the coordinator, maybe he can get, you know, a coverage that Rivers really, really dislikes or particularly likes, or what he likes to throw in a certain situation, that kind of stuff. Maybe you can get. But, again, I think you'd have to be a little bit careful.
It looks like all signs are pointing toward Corey Davis playing tonight, even though he lost his brother Titus Davis to cancer this week. Do you remember situations like that? That's obviously a very delicate situation. Everybody grieves differently. Some players, they absolutely want to suit up and still play, even though they've had a tough situation, maybe losing a family member throughout the course of the week leading up to a game. Some do not. Did you ever have any cases like that over the years?
You know, we had a case when we were in Houston where one of our players, a well-liked player, committed suicide. And you know, we had to kind of work through that very gingerly. You know, there is no right answer. It's what, you know, what can we do to help you? Well, if you're talking about like Corey, there may be something they can do to help him. But when you're talking about 60 or 65 or 70 guys, you know, you just whatever is soothing for one, you know, won't help the other. And so we had to really, really work at kind of getting through that and you know, trying to group guys to where maybe we could help four or five guys that were kind of grieving the same way. But, yeah, that's very, very delicate. Like I said, for Corey, you know, whatever Corey thinks is best for him, I think is probably the right call. You know, I'm not sure there's a wrong call there.
Talking to Floyd Reese, said Floyd, one thing I looked at, the Titans are number one in the league at turnover differential. The Colts, while they have turned it over a lot, they've also caused a lot of turnovers. How did you look at that stat? If your team's sitting high like that, are you saying, man, we're really good at not turning over, this is what we do? Or is part of you worried that it'll come back to the pack a little bit?
Yeah, no, that's in my opinion, that's like the most important stat in football, in turnovers. And if you can rank up there, you know, plus 10, you're going to be at least 6-2. You know, if you're minus 10, you're probably going to be 2-6. And so I think that is really, really good. Now you know, you look at it like, I think we're doing a great job of getting some turnovers on defense, and it totally changes, in my opinion, the personality of not only the team, but certainly the defense. When they can do something that they know is a big play and that is going to help them. And, you know, like the couple of plays last week, I mean, we right off the bat on the fourth and one, when we stop them, that was a huge play from a, from an emotional morale confidence kind of standpoint. And then when King picks up the ball and runs it in, you know, for seven, I mean, those plays are just gigantic. And the opposite of that is true too. You know, you make a mistake like the week before, you know, we go right down and Tannehill throws that ugly interception first series right off the bat in the end zone and things go the wrong way. So I am really, really big on that stat. And I'm a firm believer in, you know what, if you can win the turnover battle every game, it probably increases your chance to win the game. I don't know. You know, 35-40%, something giant number.
I heard you guys talking to Teron about this yesterday. I think that you guys hit on it, and we did yesterday as well. To me, this game really starts with, can the Titans do their thing running the ball against this front? The Colts are really, really good up front. You know, Buckner and those guys. Can Henry do his thing? We know he's going to have to work for it, but can they run the ball well enough to be able to execute their offense?
And I think that's the key phrase, well enough. You know, we've almost grown to the point that, you know, if Derek doesn't rip off a 60-yarder, he's having a bad day. And I think in a game like this, the way they play defense, that's going to be very unlikely. It doesn't mean that averaging 4.2 yards a carry might be the most important stat of the game. And that's where I think it's going to make a difference. You know, if we can, we have to stay ahead of the chains on offense. Against a team like this, if you don't, when you get behind the chains, by that I mean, you know, first and 10, second 11. Well, if you get into second 11 for us and with this defense, it's going to be really, really hard. If you can get to, if you're lucky enough to get to a second and four, second and five, you're in great shape. So I think this game, when we measure the running game, I think we're going to have to measure it that way. Okay, how do we do on first down and second down so that we get to third down? It's third and three. It's third and two. We can do that. We can convert those. Third and nine, third and 10, third and 11 against this defense. I mean, your chances of being successful are almost gone. So I think that will be the important number when we're talking about this running game.
How did you look at it when let's take the example of T.Y. Hilton, a guy that's had a lot of success against the Titans over the years. We know what type of player he is, but he has been banged up. He's had this groin pull. He says he's playing. Everybody's saying he's playing. But so when a guy steps out on the field, how do you look at a guy like that? Do you have to get a feel for what he looks like? How close are you watching him? Because if it's T.Y. Hilton of old, that's a guy that can change the game. But if he's hurting, like he has been for a lot of this season, then he's certainly not the same player he has been.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's, and you're exactly right, that's what you do. I mean, pregame warm-up, all of those kinds of things. When you're watching drills, you're watching the 7-on-7, you are focused on him. You know, what can he and can't he do? Did you see him, you know, sprint? Did you see him turn it loose? Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But you would really, really get a strong look at him because I think you hit it on the head. I mean, he has been a thorn in our side for so many years. And those guys, when they've had as much success against a team as he has against us, I mean, your confidence just skyrockets, you know. Oh, the Titans. All right, here we go.
I play well against them, yeah.
You know, I feel pretty good about this. I'm going to go out there, and he's thinking, okay, there's nobody that's covered me the last couple of years. There's nobody out here going to cover me. You know, let's go have a big day. So you're going to have to, I think you're going to watch. I mean, in my mind, he's going to have to prove to me he's not the same. Until then, I'm assuming he's the guy that's killed us every year.
Floyd Reese is with us 2 to 6 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You brought up earlier some of the stops that the defense made last week, and you know, yes, it's a completely different offensive line. It was a different offense in Chicago, but the confidence has to be there. Clowney appears to be in the lineup. He's dealing with the knee, but what have you seen that's good from him this year that you think that they can build upon and potentially help them tonight?
You know, I think you're seeing what everybody has said about him. Maybe not to the extent that we've seen it in the past, but the same thing. I mean, he is not a pass rusher. I mean, he's never really been a pass rusher. You know, does that mean he can put pressure on him? Yeah, he can. You know, he can do, you know, he's versatile. But I think everybody that has talked about him has used the word disruptive. And I think that's what you're hoping for. You know, we've seen him a couple of times, I want to say maybe a couple of weeks ago, cause a fumble like real early in the game. Do some things like that to really, really help us. Knock the ball carrier back, make it second and 14. You know, those kinds of things. So I think that's what you're hoping for as much as anything else. I don't, Jared with us, of course, you know, Clowney's one of his favorite pet peeves. And, you know, if you mentioned the name Clowney, that segment is gone. Because he's going to gripe about Clowney for 15 minutes. But, I mean, Clowney is what I thought we were getting, you know. Right. So I can't get mad at him. You know, people are saying, well, what about the pressure? I mean, he's never been that. So, you know, what made us think he was going to be that for us? But, you know, when I keep open, it seems like during his career, there's always a handful of games, two or three games during the year, where he just absolutely lights it up. San Francisco last year, I don't know if you remember that game, but, you know, got a sack, caused a fumble. Yep. I think maybe even ran a ball in for a touch or just – you know, and so I'm thinking, hey, tonight, national TV, Thursday, you know, didn't do anything last week. Maybe tonight's that night.
So one of the things that I believe is the key in this is rattling Rivers. And Rivers is, you know, a veteran. He's done this at a high level for a long time, but he's not the same Phillip Rivers. When you've watched him at times this year, and maybe even going back to last year, what is it that some teams are doing to rattle him and, you know, that phrase of getting inside his head a little bit?
Yeah, I think pressure, of course, is always the number one thing, and his mobility is getting worse and worse, as we saw him try to make that tackle last week on the fumble. But you know, he's not the same athlete. We know that. He doesn't have the same arm strength he once has. We know that. He is a smart football player, a wily vet that going into a game like this will use every little bit of information that he's, you know, kind of put together over the years against us. I think he's 7-2 against us, you know, so he's played us pretty darn well. And for whatever reason, you know, he's had some success. So he's going to put that all together and come out here and hopefully not be put in a situation where he's got to throw the ball 45 times. You know, what they would like to do, in my opinion, on their offense and what we do on offense, they would like to do, you know, much the same things that we do. They'd like to be able to run the ball effectively, play action pass, have Rivers go out and throw the ball 25, 30 times, and complete, you know, 20 of those for two touchdowns, no turnovers, they win. And that's kind of the way we look at it, you know, with Ryan. So I think that's what they're trying to do. Now, when he gets in a situation where he's got to throw the ball 40, 45 times, I mean, the chances of him making a mistake, because he's got a little bit of that gunslinger still in him, you know. And I've always believed that once you have that, you never, ever get rid of it. Now, you can curb it a little bit, but you don't get rid of it. And so, you know, if he's got to go out there and throw it 40 times, I think the chances of him making a mistake really increase.
Floyd, do you feel with A.J. and Corey, the way that they have been used this year, and I know, you know, A.J. was out, Corey was out on the COVID list, but since they've been back and playing in the same games, do you like how they have both been used, whether it's one has a bigger game than the other, one's targeted more than the other, or it could also be a defense is keyed in on one, so the other one is available. Do you like how Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill have used them to this point, or do you think that there's more that can be done?
Well, I'm hoping there's a lot more that can be done, you know, to be honest. I mean, for whatever reason, it seems like we have to choose one every week. And instead of saying, no, we can both go out there and we can both catch seven or eight passes and you know, we might not both get 100 yards, but if one gets 80 and one gets 90, I think we're probably happy. But it seems like it's all or none. You know, we've got to make a choice. Okay, it's Corey's turn today. All right, he goes out and gets 140. Well, today it's AJ's turn. He's going to go out and get 140. We can both do that. And that's what, you know, I feel like we're missing something with that, because those guys are, I mean, they've done it enough. We've seen them be productive enough to know that we should be able to get those guys both into the game. And neither one of them, and that's just my opinion, you know, neither one of them, I think, are at a level where they're deserving of snap in, snap down, snap out, double teams. You know, that's not happening. And so you're saying there are going to be times where they're singled up, or there are going to be times it's a zone and they're running a crossing route and they just got to find a hole and sit and let me get the ball to them. But it seems like we're having a heck of a time getting them both juiced up at the same time.
He is the GM, Floyd Reese. He'll be on with Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders later on today, starting at 2 o'clock as they get you ready for Titans and Colts on Thursday Night Football. Appreciate it as always, Floyd.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
We will talk to him again next week, Thursdays at 11. Silly Underdog Picks coming up at high noon, but we'll have more on the Titans and the Colts on Thursday night when we come back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer blackjack and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.